Newsday presents the Island Ice Podcast with Andrew Gross.
And welcome to Island Ice, Newsday's New York Islanders podcast, episode 189, the first episode with the season officially over, and joined once again by my playoff companion, Neil Best. I'm Andrew Gross of Newsday, and we're going to, through the next several minutes, take you through what transpired to end the Islanders season and looking ahead off of breakup day, and we'll get you some audio from breakup day from some of the players. But first of all, Neil, how sad are you that the Islanders did not fulfill anything more than five games against the Hurricanes with a tough 6-3 loss in Carolina in game five?
Well, I suppose my sadness is that I wanted to see the Rangers play the Islanders in the second round, because that would have been so much fun. For a series that, as we've talked about, as the players certainly talked about a lot on breakup day, it was true that some of those games could have gone either way, and it was hardly a blowout five-game series. So in that sense, it would have been nice to see it go 6 or 7 just for the added drama. But my main sadness was, sometime in my lifetime I'd like to see another Rangers-Islanders series.
Well, it's only 30 years, and, we've got tons of time left in our careers.
Oh, do we? Oh, some of us do. Okay, I'm sorry.
Someone who seems to have a ton of time left in his Islanders career. There was some speculation, Neil and I, over the course of the season, not endemic to us, in many corners, wondering if the Islanders did not make the playoffs or if did not advance through the first round, whether or not Lou Lamoriello would or would not be back as the team's president and general manager. And the first order of business, really, or the main news coming off of breakup day, which happened on Friday out at Northwell Health Ice Center, was that Lou started his dual presser with Coach Patrick Waugh by saying the two gentlemen up here will be back next season. And to be fair, I don't think we had any questions about Patrick Waugh. it's still Lou's show. He's coming back from a seventh season. Through the questioning, he did seem open to some change, although he still acknowledged that he has a lot of trust in this group. I wrote a column the day before saying the Islanders had to stop selling the past and they needed to move it forward and give the Islanders fans some, be able to market the future. And, it's sort of two conflicting ideals. I know Lou says nothing will be sacred this offseason. There won't be any sentimentality, and we'll get to Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck in a little bit. But what did you make of Lou, and how much change do you think he can really make this offseason?
Well, my first impression was that Lou was not a big fan of your column, even though it was a good column. This Lou thing is so weird, because on the one hand, you and I and fans have every right to question what he's done and whether he should continue in that role. On the other hand, you have to respect the guy's body of work. You have to respect that at age 82, he still wants to do this.
100%, yeah.
And I'm now at the point, I think I'm finally at the point, even though we reserve our right to critique, obviously, as do fans, Scott Malkin clearly seems to have given him a contract for life, and I'm going to stop worrying about it and just trust Lou, to know what he's doing and try to do it. Now, to your question about what that can be, that's the problem, is how drastic can it be given all the long-term contracts he's given out, and, they don't have that much flexibility.
Yeah, no, a lot of no modified, no trades, no movement clauses, like you say, to mention two defensemen, Adam Pelech, Ryan Pulock, long-term deals. I don't, if you wanted to move on from one of them, I don't know how tradable either one is. Sort of the same ideal up front. I did five off-season questions, and one of which was which Islanders could reasonably be moved most, you know, realistically this offseason. And the two candidates I had were Brock Nelson and Kyle Palmieri, although both of them, you know, Palms is going into the last year of his deal. Very productive, 30-goal season. I'm sure he's attractive. And Brock Nelson, you know, even, you know, not even, you know, at the hill of 30, he's past that hill now. He still seems to, if not get better each season, certainly maintain.
Yeah, but the that's true of those guys. But this is the problem, though. You know, every year you say,
yeah,
well, you know, Brian Nelson's still a good player. Well, yeah, he's still a good player. Right. But, you know, does he fit into a team that 5 years from now is going to win the Stanley Cup?
No. And look, I think Brock and or Kyle would probably bring back the most if you can make a hockey trade. And I did ask Lou Lamoriello, the salary cap projected to go up about, slightly less than $4 million this offseason, goes up to 87.7 million projected from the 83.5 million. You guys know I'm miserable at math. You figure it out. I think it's around $4 million. Anyway, the point is there's a little more cap flexibility, even if the Islanders, you know, already have. I did the math. They got 18 players under contract already for next season. I think they have about $5 million in wiggle room under the projected salary cap. But Lou did say there was a little bit more room or flexibility for pure hockey trades, not ones where you have to match, you know, contract for contract. Now, I do think either Nelson or Palmieri would fetch a lot, but, you know, Lou also says you don't make change for change's sake. You got to get something back. I think and I've written this, so I might as well say it. I think this group has gone as far as it can, which means, yeah, maybe do make some change for change's sake, get some fresh faces in here. Both Ryan Pulock and Matthew Barzal address that during breakup day. So first, here's Matthew Barzal talking about what he thought might happen this offseason.
Given how tight this room is, do you guys go into the offseason with a little bit of nervousness about, you know, potential changes for next season?
Definitely. You know, it's been 3 years now where we haven't got over the hump in the first round, and, you know, there's a high standard here with Lou and Patty and, you know, our owners obviously putting the money in the new rink and everything. You know, obviously there's a standard that, you know, that they want, and I like that that just because we got to the first round or got to the playoffs, you know, it's not a successful season per se. You know, so obviously I want to be a part of something that has that kind of standard and wants to win, and definitely feel that with Lou and just the entire organization.
And here's defenseman Ryan Pulock with a considerably longer answer to essentially the same question.
I think that's always a question, no matter, you know, what offseason it is. I mean, no matter if you win the Stanley Cup or not, there's always changes to teams. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure starting next year that, you know, there's going to be a couple changes. What that is, I'm not sure. But, you know, I think there's a good group of players here, and there's like a phenomenal group of people. So, you know, off the ice, every single guy in here is, you know, everyone gets along so well. Everyone, it's just a great room of people. So when you're talking about, you know, changes in, you know, some guys leaving or what, you know, it's always, that part of it sucks, you know, because you're losing good friends and you're losing good people. But at the same time, you know, when you start playing this game and you turn pro and whatnot, you realize that it's a business, and there's a lot of details that, you know, make it depends on. There's always going to be changes and whatnot. So you learn to deal with that. I think I have a lot of faith in this, you know, core group of guys here, and I think, you know, we're right there. It might not look like it to some people, but I really do believe that we're right there. And if you look like past winning teams and whatnot, you look teams, you know, maybe lost in the first round or this or that, and then the next year, you know, they make a run, and I think we're capable of that. It's just like I kind of spoke on before, such a fine line of winning and losing, and you, every experience like this of you know, failing and the failure, I think teaches you a lot and makes you better going forward. So I think you gotta take that and be prepared next year to run with that.
Now, as mentioned earlier, perhaps, you know, maybe it's not the two biggest players in terms of, you know, on ice performance at this point, but Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck are so intricately interwoven into the fabric of this team and what the fans, you know, how they see the Islanders. And both fourth liners are going to be unrestricted free agents. Cal Clutterbuck will be 37 next season. Matt Martin's about to turn 35. Both said they want to continue playing, but they understand that there really might not be a spot on the Islanders. And before Neil and I discuss that a little bit, let's hear from the players themselves. First, Cal Clutterbuck on his future in the NHL or on Long Island.
I know you want to play next season. What are your thoughts on where and if it's possible here?
Yeah, I'd love to play, and obviously I'd love to play here. This has been home for a very long time. I've put a lot into my time here and had great experiences, and so, you know, I will be an Islander for life. Whether I get a chance to play here next year or not, that's been out of my control. But, you know, at the same time, I'll get some time to make a decision and just going to gather the information, look at the options, and go from there.
I mean, on balance, how much is it all going to be their decision? How much of that equation is yours?
I don't know. There's just been no discussion about it. So I'm just, you know, still sitting here like 2 days after it being finished. And like I said, like time is, when you have time, you may as well use it. Yeah. So have time and we'll see how it all shakes down.
And here's Matt Martin also answering a couple of questions on that subject.
I mean, you left here once. You know how hard it was, and, you know, you wound up being lucky enough to come back for you and your family.
Yeah.
Can you envision going through that again?
I think for myself, I'm very, like I said, take things day by day. So I don't look too far into the future. I don't. You know, I just focus on what I need to do to be ready, and the rest of it will sort itself out. So, obviously, everyone knows how I feel about this place, and my intention would be to play here. But like I said, I'll have exit meetings, and you know, time to for the rest of it to sort itself out. That's not necessarily in my control. So I'll just take it by day, and let it take.
Is it emotional for you right now, the uncertainty, not knowing whether, you know, in September you'll be in this room or not?
There's certainly, you know, you wonder about it for sure, but I don't know what the future holds. So I'm not going to be emotional about something that I don't know is going to happen. So, like I said, you know, I haven't had an exit meeting yet. I can't stand in front of you here and tell you guys, you know, what is in store for me in the future. So all of this stuff, you know, like I said, I take things pretty day by day, and all this stuff will sort itself out in the end. So we'll see, you know, what the future has in store for myself and my family, and we'll go from there.
So, Neil, you wrote a column off of Breakup Day about Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck. So let's start here with just your impressions, especially when you sort of asked Lou Lamoriello directly about the possibility of, you know, how he needs to construct his roster next season.
Yeah, well, Lou was blunt about, you know, how loyalty is great, but, you know, you have to make, you can't let that stand in the way of progress. So that I took that as, I guess, a sign they might be not be back. But, you know, as to this whole issue with those two, you're right that they are a big part of the identity of what the Islanders have been, and fans, their fan favorites, certainly, especially Matt Martin. However, and I like them both because they're both interesting, quotable, friendly guys. Well, Cal's friendly when he's in a good mood.
Cal to me has always been the smartest guy in the room and the most interesting guy.
Absolutely a smart, interesting guy.
Who doesn't suffer fools one bit.
He can get cranky, but that's okay also because he's very smart, very interesting guy. Anyway, given everything that has been talked, said, you know, written about this team by us, by fans, what message would you be sending to bring those guys back? I'm sorry. The message you're sending is, yeah, we still love our guys from the last 15 years, and we're going to bring them back because they're a big part of the team. No, I'm sorry. That, to me, that would be the wrong message given what's needed from this team, which is not that.
Yeah, and Lou specifically used those phrases. He said, you know, loyalty can't get in the way of his decisions. And, you know, Lou Lamoriello, probably his greatest strength as a human being is the loyalty he shows to a lot of people. Lou Lamoriello's umbrella of loyalty is very big. And he's, you know, I know you guys don't get to interact with him. Lou has as big a heart as anybody. And he cares about people. And he cares about his players and his ex-players. And he watches out for them. So as a human being, that might be his greatest strength. As a general manager president, over the past couple of seasons, it might have been a bit of a weakness, as, you know, with some of the contracts he's doled out and this continuously bringing back the same core. And I know he'll argue, well, we brought in Romanov, we brought in Bo Horvat, you know, Kyle McClain was added to the mix this year. But if you look at it, and, you know, look, getting back to Cal and Matty, I mean, they have been, other than Matt's 2-year sojourn in Toronto from 2016 to 2018, this has been really the heartbeat of the team with Casey Cizikas going back to, you know, 2014 or so.
I thought our friend and counterpart Larry Brooks made a good point about this team the other day when he said that they were perfectly suited to that bubble situation because of how close they are. So in that case, when they made their biggest run, you had a bunch of guys whose, you know, the fact they've been together that long helped them in that scenario. But it also is a reminder that that was not a normal scenario. So, I'm not taking anything away from their two runs, but it was not normal circumstances. So you have to wonder how that translates to normal life.
Yeah, yeah. And look, the Islanders embrace bubble life probably. You know, I know the Lightning won in the bubble, but you talk to Islander players about that experience. I had one player tell me the other day that it might be, when he retires, his greatest hockey memory. And there were some teams who went into that bubble and looked, it looked on the ice like they wanted no part of it and couldn't wait to leave.
The Rangers looked that way.
Absolutely, and they lost 3 straight games. Yeah. You know, but the Islanders embraced it. They made the most of it. A lot of credit to Barry Trotz and to Lou Lamoriello for creating that atmosphere. But again, and this is what I was talking about in the column, we're now talking about 2020 we should be talking about 24, 25.
Now 2020 is going to be 5 years ago once next season starts. So, yeah, no, your column was right on. And I, you know, the stuff about the early 80s, which I am old enough to remember, it's a good, you know, and it's great that they've gotten those guys back involved with the organization, as you said. But, you know, every time I see the highlights and they're heavy on the early 80s, I'm like, geez. I mean, the Rangers in game one that we covered here had four members of the 94 Rangers. Which, and I was thinking, wow, this is starting to be a long time ago. Then you go back to 1980. Yeah. That's a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, as I wrote, there were generations, plural, of Islander fans who have been born since the mid-80s. And again, I don't want to keep going to the past. I do want to look forward. But a lot of times at UBS Arena, I really do feel like they're trying to sell season tickets for the 1984-85 season, not 24-25.
And you know, let's face it, the reality is in business terms, when the Rangers are of down periods, they tend to fill the building. The Islanders need to be a good team to fill that building, and that's an added pressure on them to kind of figure out a way out of this, you know, muck they're in.
Well, they're in a bad position because they're not a bad team.
Yeah.
But they're not a great team. They're really stuck in the middle, and you see this, you know, third place in the Metropolitan Division getting into the playoffs on game 81. You know, last season's getting in on game 82, and this season, you know, who knows if the Islanders even make it, if any one of these teams other than the Caps showed up down the stretch. You know, the Red Wings, the Penguins. The Penguins played okay, but, you know, there were a bunch of teams falling all over themselves to allow the Islanders to get in.
Well, last year it was a shocking Penguins screw-up that got them in, so.
So, yeah, again, you know, listening to Lou, it does sound like he is committed to moving on from Cal Clutterbuck and perhaps and or Matt Martin. Cal Clutterbuck, as you heard, said he's going to be an Islander for life, but maybe not an Islander next season. And, you know, hopefully you use those positions to get a little bit younger. I thought it was a really good sign. Kyle McLean was one of the real bright spots this season in terms of coming up. And, you know, that allowed Patrick Waugh to use Casey Cizikas elsewhere in the lineup. But also, let's face it, you know, the Islanders should not go into next season thinking Casey Cizikas is their top-line left wing.
Well, I think that was Casey almost left at that. I mean, he doesn't think of himself that way either.
Yeah.
So he realizes that he was just kind of filling in. Well, if we're going to talk about bright spots in the future and thing and give credit to Lou for things he did right, I mean, hiring that coach seems to have been a home run by Lou, so he deserves credit for that. I mean, we'll see how it translates to a full season. But the players, I must have heard the word. I mean, we talked to 23 players on Friday.
Yeah,
I think I heard the word passion from you know
19
of them when asked about Patrick Waugh.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The players are really sold on him. It starts from the top. Bo Horvat and Matthew Barzal have been singing Patrick Waugh's praises, and you know, I know there was some criticism of Patrick after the 5-round loss to the Hurricanes, you know, in some corners, thinking that Rod Brind'Amour had gotten a little bit ahead of Patrick Waugh in terms of matching lines and creating, you know, the right on-ice matchups and everything. But I think Patrick Waugh is a heck of a coach, and that has nothing to do with the fact that for Neil and I, he's very quotable and he's transparent and he kind of shoots from the hip and he's, I guess this will be number 24 and 25 amongst the players, but you know, you do see his passion. You see his passion every time on the bench and in practice, and when he's speaking to the media.
Well, he's also has the way he projects when he speaks and or whistles.
Yeah.
During practice, we can hear him very clearly, and we're up in the quite a few rows up, and we hear him.
The one thing, Patrick Waugh, that will be different next season, remember Lane Lambert was fired on January 19th. Patrick Waugh was hired on January 20th. He did have the 4 days leading up into the Stadium Series game against the Rangers, where he had him on the ice and he kind of did some fundamental practices and drills, but he hasn't run a training camp with the Islanders. And I do, you know, without being a Pollyanna about this, I do subscribe to the notion that Patrick Waugh with a full training camp is going to really put his skate up the players' rear ends, really push him, and perhaps, you know, I'm not saying the Islanders were out of shape, but I do think their penchant for not holding leads in the third period. They were outscored by the Hurricanes 10-1 in the third period. That does speak to something. I think that's something that Patrick Waugh will skate out of them, given a full training camp. And I posed that question to Bo Horvat about what he expects in September and how tough he expects it to be.
You've obviously played for a few different coaches. Do you anticipate Waugh running a really tough training camp?
Oh, yeah. I think we witnessed that. I don't know, kind of just when we came back from the break, I think we had a pretty tough skate. And I don't think it's definitely not going to be easy, but I think that's great. Honestly, every hard camp I've had a lot of them, I think it just prepares you for what's to come for the regular season. If you can get through that and that training camp, the rest of it's going to feel easy. And, obviously it sucks. It sucks going through it, but a lot of the bad times in the season suck too, and you gotta fight through those. So I think a little adversity at camp and getting through that is just going to help us.
Now, going through the roster, you talk about comings and goings. There are three defensemen, Robert Bortuzzo, Sebastian Aho, Mike Riley. All of them are unrestricted free agents. At breakup day, none of them sounded convinced they would be back. Maybe Riley is brought back. I'm not sure. But perhaps Riley, can use this and go get, a longer deal elsewhere. So there's uncertainty with those three. Oliver Wahlstrom, the 11th overall pick in 2018, Lou Lamoriello's first round pick for the Islanders. He took Noah Dobson one selection later. It certainly sounds like Wally recognizes that he may need to go to a different organization next season, and perhaps he wants to go to a different organization for a fresh start next season. He was given two chances to say, yeah, I want to be back, and he sort of said, we'll see both times. And I think if you could pour truth serum into Lou Lamoriello, he'd probably say the same thing. Going around the rest of the room, your two goalies are going to be back. Cizikas and Barzal and Horvat are all under contract. We talked about Nelson and Palmieri on the second line. Hudson Fasching, who ended the playoffs on the second line on the left wing, he talked about, needing to be a little bit more consistent, but he's got another year left on his deal. But the Islanders could certainly, not saying Hudson Fasching won't have a place on this team, because if Martin and Clutterbuck leave, perhaps Hudson sort of slides into maybe more of where he'd naturally be, with Kyle MacLean maybe on a fourth line. The Islanders could certainly use a scoring left wing for the second line, and the same is true for the first line. But Fasching's got a deal. Anders Lee still has a couple of more seasons. Jean-Gabriel Pageau's got a couple of more seasons on his deal. Pierre Engvall's got six more years on his deal. And then you look defensively, both Romanov and Dobson are going to need new deals as restricted free agents, not this offseason, the following offseason. They're going to cost a lot of money. And then Scott Mayfield talked about how he fractured his ankle in game one and just was never right all season. You got to hope that he comes back and, is able to play that third pair role with some steadiness. And that wasn't there this year. And you got to hope it was because his fractured ankle just did not allow him to play the way he wants. So, you know, to go back to the beginning, how does Lou change up this team? There are a lot of contracts and there's not a lot of wiggle room. One place without making an upgrade where they can really improve next season, and you've written about it, Ilya Sorokin. He talked about what a tough year this has been. The players certainly expect Sorokin to be better next year. What was your interactions with Ilya towards the end of the season? And, you know, is this a guy, he starts an eight-year, $66 million deal starting next season? He has to be the man.
Well, I was going to say, the answer is he better be good, or they got a huge problem. Yeah, I mean, as you've written about before, you know, he's a very pleasant young man. It's so impressive how his English, how he's learned English, and you kind of want to root for him. And I do think he will figure this out. There's no guarantee. I remember last year being in the Rangers locker room one day in the middle of the season, Shesterkin was moping and slumping and miserable, and the world was coming to an end, and now he's viewed as a potential Stanley Cup goalie. So I do think absolutely that Sorokin is probably going to be fine. But there's obviously no guarantee, and if he isn't, it's a big problem. But yeah, yes, I'm optimistic Sorokin will figure this out, because we know he has the talent.
And he kept talking about it's just the quote-unquote small details, which is goalie speak for, you know what, I have to square up to the puck a little bit better. I've got to control my rebounds. My footwork has to be better. Small details. And he can't get caught going, you know, relying on his athleticism to go side to side as much.
Well, one thing that's interesting about him is he refuses to buy into the seemingly obvious narrative that his head coach is one of the best goalies of all time. Every time that comes up, he talks about the goalie coaches. Patrick's the head coach. He's busy. He's got other stuff. But I'm like, well, now you have a whole off season, so Patrick is not as busy as during the season. And the idea that he can't help him seems ludicrous to me. Of course he can help him. Well, you know, he's the best goalie of all time.
And Varlamov, Semyon Varlamov, talks about how big a help Patrick Waugh was to him with the Colorado Avalanche. Last bit of player audio here. Here is Captain Anders Lee on what he expects from Ilya Sorokin next season.
Yeah, I'm excited. I know how much he cares. I know how hard he works and how much he puts on his shoulders. And I think an off season for him to go back and rejuvenate, take a load off, and get back to where he wants to get back to. I still think he had a really solid season. You know, he can't take all of the and shouldn't shoulder all of those things that happen. He's got five guys in front of him at all times that can do a better job as well. So, Stroke is one of the best goalies in this league, and he's going to continue to prove that over and over. So I know he's gonna have a great offseason and come in flying. And that's also should be the plan for every one of us as well.
The one thing Lou Lamoriello would not get into details about at breakup day, he was asked about the status of Patrick Waugh's assistants and staff members, and that would be Doug Huda, the assistant coach, Johnny McLean, the assistant coach, Benoit DeRozier, who Patrick Waugh personally brought in. I think Benny certainly is going to stick around. I don't know about Doug Huda and Johnny McLean. Patrick may want more of his own guys in there. And then the goalie coach, Piero Greco, has been here for six seasons since Lou got here. And Mitch Korn, the director of goaltending, has been here. Came in with Barry Trotz. Mitch, obviously, very tied in with Barry, was with him in Nashville and Washington. And you got to wonder whether, you know, Patrick Waugh is going to want his own goalie coach in here, or whether he's forged a good enough relationship with Piero and Mitch. I've written that industry expectation sort of is that this might have been Mitch Korn's last season with the Islanders. I asked Lou Lamoriello directly whether he expected Mitch Korn back, and Lou said yes very quickly. So we'll see there. But I think it's going to be very interesting, you know, whether Patrick brings in, you know, a different goalie coach or not, because he does see, you know, he may, for all I know, he may see goaltending differently than Mitch and Piero do, and he just hasn't had time to bring his own staff. So those are lingering off-season questions, and I'm sure we'll be getting to them during the off-season. But for now, I can only just say thank you to Neil for all your help in the playoffs and during the regular season. Hopefully you guys can, I know the Islanders aren't in it, but the playoffs truly are the best hockey to watch, you know, so enjoy the games, even if the Islanders aren't in it, right?
I understand the way Islanders and Rangers fans feel about each other, but it's still a fact, that, in my opinion, that if you're an Islanders fan who's a hockey fan, having the Rangers involved, you can root against them, but having them involved in the later rounds just makes it more fun because of all the attention on hockey in the area. I mean, that's my opinion. I think that just adds to the juice around hockey for those who want to keep watching, even when their team's out of it.
Well, we'll definitely be addressing some of these off-season questions as they come up. And, of course, you have the NHL draft in Vegas, the June 28th and 29th, and NHL free agency July 1st. So a lot of stuff, a lot of questions for the off-season. Until then, if you want to see anything Neil or I have produced, it's up on newsday.com/sports. And until the next time, Neil, what do we say?
Happy hockey?
Happy hockey!